Puja. So today is the 4th of May 2017, Thursday. The Thursday class is held at Brother Teo and Sister Padma Suri's house. So we will now commence the Puja. Develop the faith, Sada, Virya, Sat. Then mindfully we shall commence the Puja. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādhemi. Svakkhato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato savakka sangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of a chanting book. We shall commence the vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pāṇātipātā vīramaṇīṃ sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādinādānā vīramaṇīṃ sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmeṣu micchācārā vīramaṇīṃ sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Mosāvādā vīramaṇīṃ sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Surāmeraya majjhapamādathāna vīramaṇīṃ sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Gannasārappaditthena ditthena tamadaṃsina. Tilokadipaṃ sambuddhaṃ pujayāmi tamonudaṃ. Gandha-sambara-yutthena dopenahaṃ sukhaṃ hinā. Pujāye pujaniyaṃ taṃ puja bhajana muttamaṃ. Vanna gandha guno petang etang kasuma santatin. Pujayami punindasa siripada sarorohe. ปุเจมิปุตังกุสุเมนะเนนะปุณเณนะมัตเตนะเชโหตุโมคังปุพังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตเถมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปาเลปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตเถมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตโบจานาปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตเถมัง Now let us develop our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of clear water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we may diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation. Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of powers, then sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect mindfully to Tripaja. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah. Then we can off the light. Yeah? The first session is meditation. Yeah? I will give those who are new, yeah? And those who still need instruction, some basic instruction on meditation. Then for those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away go ahead. Understand, Brother Leong is new, huh? First time. You meditate before? No, huh? Okay. After we will give you some of the books you have us to print, that will help you. Huh? I think I can give him three of the books. The first one is the seminar paper. Then after that, understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, part one and part two. So all these instructions that I'm going to give you, they are in these two books. The part one and part two. So you don't have to remember, you just have to listen attentively. Then when you go back, you read through the books, you will understand how to develop the training of the mind to do the meditation. Okay. For those who already have the understanding, you straight away go ahead with your meditation. Then for Brother Leong and those who still need instruction, you listen. Eh? According to the Buddha, our mind, if you don't train it, it will be heedless. It will think a lot. It will wander off very fast. You cannot maintain inner peacefulness of mind, inner calmness of mind. The reason being, according to the Buddha, you have this five mental hindrance of mind. And this mental hindrance, they are explained by the Buddha in his teaching. Later on, when the light is on again, you can see the two sheet of plastic notes on the wall behind me. They are the five mental hindrance. The first pair of mind states. Then the opposite pair is the five spiritual faculties. This mental hindrance, like the word hindrance, it means when you have this mind state, it will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness to develop the meditation. That's why most people find it very difficult to meditate. The moment they sit, they will have a lot of thinking arising. And they find it very difficult to calm themselves down. And this mental hindrance, the Buddha already explained, they are your sensual desire, the first one. Then your ill will or dislike. The third one is sleepiness of mind, lethargic mind. And the fourth mental hindrance is restlessness of mind. This restlessness of mind come about because in the midst of life, when you go through life, you didn't take care of your mind state. You are heedless, you simply do things. You break your precepts, your moral rules and code. You violate the society's law, and you do a lot of wrong things. We are arising the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And when you do this, you will have fear, worry, anxiety. We are those who do all this, they have a lot of problem, enemies, and other things. Then you have fear because you're scared people take revenge. People come to know. They would be angry with you. Then they may come and look for you. And sometimes when you cheat, deceive, when people come to know, you also have problem. Then you keep on worrying about this problem. So all the fear, the worry, the anxiety, and sometimes because of health problem, financial problem, relationship problem, you also have fear, worry, anxiety. And this will make your mind restless. That's why restlessness is a very common mental hindrance. So if you want to do well in your meditation, you must keep your precept so that you will not have so much of this fear, worry, anxiety leading to restlessness of mind. And the other reason is the last last mental hindrance, which is doubt. When you don't understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, you will have doubt. When you have doubt, you are not confident, you are not sure. That's why your mind cannot be peaceful. You know? Doubt can also lead to worry, fear, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So all these are the mental hindrance that bring about this state. So how do we overcome all these mental hindrance? That's the purpose of this meditation. The Buddha said you have to cultivate the opposite five. You have to develop the Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. These opposite five mental faculty or spiritual faculty, they will allow you to counter the mental hindrance. Just now I mentioned that five is in Pali. Saddha is confident or faith in the Buddha and his teaching through an understanding. Then the second spiritual faculty is Virya. Virya is a spiritual zeal or tenacity to learn this teaching. Because after you understand who the Buddha is and how unique his teaching is, you were determined to follow his teaching and you were determined to cultivate this teaching. That's how Saddha will lead to Virya. And the third spiritual faculty is mindfulness. To be mindful is to be aware, not arising any thought. To be with the moment in silent awareness. Awareness is a very powerful mental state. The Buddha called it sati, or commonly translated as mindfulness. Means mind in fullness, without thought. Full of awareness, just aware. The moment you are aware without thought, you are already in sati or mindfulness. So you don't try to be aware. But when the mental hindrances are there, sati cannot arise. So you need to allow the thought to cease. Allow the mental hindrance to arise and pass away. Then with the faith, saddha, virya, you maintain the virya to cultivate this mind so that it is always mindful and aware. And this spiritual faculty of saddha, virya, leading to sati can be developed through our puja just now. When we chant the salutation to the triple gem, when we chant the refuge, all this recall to mind our faith. Then it will drive us to meditate. Then when we do it mindfully on a puja offering, the reverential salutation or respect that we pay to the Buddha and the Triple Gem, they can be done mindfully. And mindfulness can be developed if you just silence your mind and bow accordingly with faith. When you bow body and mind, both as one without thought, that is sati. So you just bow with full awareness. Then when you make offering of the puja offering, it's the same. You rejoice by saying sadhu. Then you're fully aware of your movement, activity, and how you pass on the puja offering, how you rejoice, you are mindful within. So all these are mindfulness cultivation. Then you can have the mindful mind to be aware of all this offering, activity and movement. Then our purpose of meditation here is to train this mind so that the mindfulness can be there even in the midst of mental hindrance. Most people may not have the mental faculty or spiritual faculty as yet. So their mental hindrances are quite active. So I will teach you a skillful means to train your mind so that you don't have to worry about them. We call it the mind sweeping method. Yeah? Then I will combine with loving kindness. This will help you decondition your heedless thinking so that your mental hindrance are kept at bay. Then only you can train the mind to have this mindfulness or sati to meditate. Then you have to stabilize it via anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath. So now you listen attentively. I will give you the instruction. Relax body and mind. Silence everything. And make sure you have a stable posture. You can't sit cross-legged. You can sit on a chair or on a bench. Or you can lie down. Just relax. A stable posture where you can maintain your quietness, peacefulness, and silence to develop the meditation. Then close your eye. Breathe in, breathe out normally. Relax. Maintain silent or awareness. Then feel your forehead. Feel. Feel. Do not think, just feel. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just relax them. Relax, relax, and relax. Feel your forehead muscle soothingly relax. Then move your awareness or attention down to your eye muscle. Again, feel. Feel. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you relax them all. Feel your eye muscle soothingly relax. Then you move your attention down to your facial muscle. Each and every strand of it, feel and relax. Feel and relax. Make sure your whole facial muscle is soothingly relaxed. Then to help you further to relax yourself, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you will have joy. You will have the happy mind. The happy mind will be in a natural state of joy. That's why you can just relax. Then after that, you can radiate love and metta to yourself, starting with yourself. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. As you recite body and mind, feel your body and mind. And as you recite be well and happy, you must feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, your entire being. You can repeat it. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Well and happy. May too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it. Feel that you don't have any physical and any mental suffering. May your mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful. May too be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. And you can radiate this metta to your loved ones. May all my loved ones be well and happy, well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering, free from all harm and danger. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy drip deep within our hearts. Then now you radiate this same metta to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of this place, including all Kayanamitas or Dhamma friends who are meditating here, and all beings within the entire USJ Subang Jaya, Selangor State, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, our planet, then extending to all beings within our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and to all beings throughout the entire existence or universe. May they all to be well and happy, well and happy, free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle, feel, relax. Then you move it down to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your heart area or chest area. Again, you silence everything and just feel. You can detect any vibration within your heart area or your heartbeat. You just silence everything and just stay there. Don't do anything. But if you are new, if you are not sensitive, you cannot feel, then it's okay. You can relax your entire chest area. Like you feel your forehead, now you feel your chest area. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. Any tension, any tightness, or any stress within you, just relax them all and let them pass. Then you move down to your abdomen, feel, relax. Then you move down to your leg, feel, relax. Your buttock, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole of the mind sweeping method from your leg, feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Then you move it up to your abdomen, silence everything and just feel and relax. Then move it up to your stomach, feel, relax. Then your chest area, do the same, feel, then relax every part. If you can detect any vibration or heartbeat, then just silence your mind and stay there. Otherwise, you develop the relaxation. Then you move on to your neck, feel, relax, shoulder, feel, relax, hand, feel, relax, back to shoulder, feel, relax, then neck, then move on to facial muscle, feel and relax each and every facial muscle. Then you move it on to your eye muscle, do the same, feel, relax, then your forehead, feel, relax. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. The quietness or the peacefulness is the deed of mindfulness. Then what you need to do now is to stabilize this quietness of mind or silent mind, or what they call mindfulness, sati within. I will teach you another skillful means called anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is just mindful of the in and out breath. So now you maintain attentiveness in front of your nostril to note your breathing. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, you maintain awareness. So breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Yeah. If you have not developed the training, you may not be able to do it. But don't worry, every time the mind wanders off and you lose your mindfulness, you just patiently bring the mind back to the breathing. Silence everything and feel the breathing. Just like you feel your forehead. until you can detect the breathing. When the breathing and your awareness move as one without thought, that is anapanasati. So you just continue to train. Every time you wander off, bring the attention back to the breathing. Yeah. I will let you train for a while. For those who really know how to meditate, if you're already familiar with the training, then your anapanasati will develop. When you have this mindfulness of the in and out breath without thought, you will experience a peacefulness of mind called piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, born of anapanasati or mindfulness. Then as you continue to develop this inner peace, inner calmness, you should relax into it and allow it to develop further. If you relax into it, it will become more refined. From piti, it will transform into sukha. Sukha is a very blissful state. When you experience sukha, you will like to meditate. That calmness, the peacefulness, the blissfulness is so overwhelming that you will become interested in meditation. So continue to train, continue to develop all this. Yeah. And I will ring the bell after about 10 or 15 minutes. Okay, for those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have it now, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner peacefulness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. These are the mind state that has the spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati. And when you stabilize your Sati, you will have Samadhi. Then you will become more calm and more peaceful. With Sati and Samadhi, you will have the ability to develop wisdom. Because when you are mindful and the mind state is very stable, which is what Samadhi is all about. Samadhi is a mind state that is unwavering, collected. At the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think something, this mind will not waver. It will be collected, very stable. Even lightning strike, it will not stir. That is what Samadhi is all about. So when you constantly have Siddhi and Samadhi, means mindfulness and the collectedness of mind, unwavering mind, then you can see things clearly. You can see things as they are and you will understand deeply whatever you come to see or perceive. And that is what mindfulness is all about. It can lead to wisdom. The stability of mindfulness is Samadhi. So Sati and Samadhi will allow you to see things as they are, to awaken. Then you will have this stability of spiritual faculty, the five spiritual faculty. With that, when you stabilize it, the mental hindrance will cease to be. Then you can be in a meditative state throughout the day in the midst of life, whether you are sitting, walking, standing, or lying down. You can be fully aware, mindful, because the spiritual faculties are there. When the spiritual faculty is there, the mental hindrance cannot arise. This is to be. That's how meditation can be developed. So focus on the cultivation of the spiritual faculty, the faith, sadha, virya, spiritual zeal. Then mindfulness. Mindfulness is the most important. That's why all of meditation is to train the mind to develop this quality of mind, mindfulness. The real definition of mindfulness is the silent mind. When the mind is silent without thought, that is the mindfulness. So sati is awareness before the knowing, before the perception, before the thinking, before the aggregate of mind arise. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. This wireless mic can pass to NB. I will read the English version. Evocation to the devas. Turn to page 6. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammam Munira Jasa Sunantu Sagga Mokadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badam. Sanakalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanakalo Ayang Badanta
Namo Tassa
Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Iti Beso Bhagava Arahang Sammā Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sukato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhitiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachyatang Viditadbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yatidang Chattari Purisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuniyo Bahuniyo Dakiniyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pujam. Budang Pujami Damang Pujami Sanghang Pujami. Okay, thank you. You can be seated. Then relax body and mind. Maintain some form of attention. We can start our second session. Second session is meditation, reporting, and question and answer. If you got any question regarding the meditation or the teaching, you can ask. Okay, we will open it up for meditation reporting. Anybody who wants to report meditation or ask any question, just raise your hand. Then we will pass you the mic. Anybody? Nobody. So everybody understood, huh? So I no need to teach anymore. You got any question, you can also ask. Maybe just now the light was not on. When I was explaining to you why the mind is not peaceful and you cannot meditate, is because according to the Buddha, there are these five mental hindrances. The mental hindrances, they are up here at the top piece. Above here, can see? The five mental hindrances, pancha nivaranas, they are sensual desire and ill will. The third one is sloth and torpor, which is sleepiness of mind, lethargic mind, when you are very sleepy. Then the fourth one is restlessness, just now I explained already. When your mind think a lot, worry a lot, when there is fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, this mind is not peaceful. It's very restless, especially worry, anxiety, fear. Then last one is doubt. When you don't have faith, when you are not confident, the doubt will be there. The first two, sensual desire and ill will, is a pair, one pair. They are your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, reaction to sense experience. Throughout the day, when you live your life, when you see something, or hear something, or smell, taste, or tactile feel, or recall through thought process, something, the sixth sense, you tend to react to what you see. Then you tend to have pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. Both pleasant and unpleasant, they are called craving. Craving got two types, positive and negative. Then pleasant sensation, the thing that you like, you want it repeated. These are called your desire of the senses. There is a craving behind. So sensual desire are your sense experience when they arise. He who have positive desire for it, it become a mental hindrance. All of your mind state that has this like and dislike, they are the positive and negative, sensual desire and ill will. Even your aversion is the evil root of anger. And the evil root of greed and anger, they are tied up with this sensual desire and ill will. They have these two evil roots. That's why they arise and become mental hindrance. So take for example, when you see something, the moment you perceive and recall through memory, then from your views and opinion, you react to what you see. Like it's an ugly scene, or somebody you don't like. Then there is dislike or aversion, unpleasant sense experience. So that itself is a mental hindrance. Or you desire for it. So what happens is, you are lost in thought. You become preoccupied with what you see. Then the like and dislike will make you heedless. Then when you are heedless, you are not aware. That's why it's a mental hindrance. You cannot be peaceful anymore, because you are lost in thought, preoccupied with that sense experience. If throughout the day you are busy creating all the pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, like and dislike, means the sensual desire you will non-stop, continuously arise and pass away, arise and pass away. So these are your mental tendencies. And when you do it so often, it becomes habitual. So habitual tendency will create continuous flow of mental hindrance throughout the day. So you have this mind state, which is a mental hindrance throughout the day because of habitual tendency, then what will happen to you? They are mental hindrance. They will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot meditate. You cannot be peaceful. And these are called mental hindrance because it hinders you. So what happens is, when you don't understand the teaching, you will end up becoming heedless. The five mental hindrance will be very active. They are very common in living beings' daily activity and mind process. That's why most living beings who have not trained their mind or developed the meditation or understanding of this teaching, they keep on arising mental hindrance, and because of that, they are not peaceful, they don't have clarity of mind, they don't have the spiritual faculties. That's the reason why you have to cultivate the opposite five. And these opposite five are down here, the second chart. The Buddha called it spiritual faculties or mental faculties, positive mental faculties. It is because this spiritual faculty, when you have them, it will help you overcome the five mental hindrance. Then with that, you can understand spiritual teaching, the Buddha Dhamma, the teaching of the Buddha, which is the spiritual teaching. That's why they are called spiritual faculties. And this is what you need to meditate to develop the understanding of his teaching. And these five spiritual faculties are very easy to understand because they are like common sense. Yeah. For you to be successful in life, you also need some of these qualities. Yeah. The first one is Saddha, or Pali word is Saddha, or faith, or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching through understanding who he is, how special a being he is, how unique a being he is. The Buddha is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, means perfect in wisdom and virtue. And you can say, the Buddha is the wisest and the most virtuous being ever to be born in this universe. To have him as your teacher or your guide, you should have a lot of gratitude towards him, a lot of faith towards him, and respect towards him. That's why you should count your blessing if you can have such a great being to be your teacher and your guide. And when you understand his teaching, you have stronger faith because of his great wisdom. He can come out with this teaching, which he called the Buddha Dhamma. And the essence of his teaching is the Four Noble Truths, truth that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. So his teaching can bring forth the understanding, the wisdom, to awaken your mind, to transform you from a normal puttijana or unenlightened being into an enlightened being, an Arya. Then you will become very different. With that transformation, enlightenment, awakening, your mind is liberated. You will not suffer anymore. There is no more sorrow, no more lamentation, no more sadness, no more unhappiness. The enlightened mind of enlightened being is always peaceful, calm, aware within, silent. There's a lot of joy. There's a lot of understanding. There's a lot of peacefulness, tranquility, stillness of mind. And when you understand that this is the outcome, when you have this teaching, you will have very strong faith in the Buddha and his teaching, then you will strive on with virya or spiritual zeal, the second spiritual faculty, to cultivate his teaching, because it's so important and it is so beautiful. And because of the faith, it will drive you to cultivate. So saddha will lead to virya. Under our common society's terminology is whatever you want to do in life, you must have these two things quite similar, except these are for mundane things, mundane success. If you want to be good in study, academic, or in any field of study, or they call skill, let's say any profession, if you want to excel in it, even taking exam or play chess, play badminton or what, the first thing that you must have is confidence, which is the faith. Confidence in yourself, confidence in your ability to do it. So this saddha, the faith, for spiritual aspect is faith in the Buddha and his teaching. For normal, materialistic purpose, or they call it for normal human being, you call it faith in yourself, means confidence in yourself and your ability to do it. So self-confidence is very important. They used to say, if you have self-confidence, half the battle is won. When you are very confident in your ability to do well in your exam or your career or whatever that you want to do, that confidence will actually drive you to diligently work towards it. So diligent, the driving force to be diligent is called virya. So saddha and virya, spiritually and the mundane way, is quite similar. So you need this spiritual faculty. Then the third one is mindfulness. When you have the spiritual zeal or virya to drive you to cultivate, you will seriously cultivate this teaching. And the third spiritual faculty you need to cultivate is mindfulness, sati, awareness. Awareness is spontaneous action without thinking. You become so skillful that the mind doesn't get involved. It's just aware. It's just like any games you play is the same. Badminton, table tennis, basketball, swimming, or whatever. Yeah. If you want to be skillful and good, what must you do? You must have faith in yourself. Diligently train. Train means what? Constantly do it. Train yourself in that field. Then when you are very skillful, what happens is you will become very graceful in your movement, your ability to execute them, like badminton, the stroke and all those things. You have complete understanding of the game. You have complete control of the shuttlecock. You want to serve low, you go low. You want to serve high, you go high. You want to return to baseline, you will go to baseline. You want to drop shot, you want to smash, you can do. Then you can retrieve whatever shot if you are skillful. That is because you are already mindful, aware. You can execute them spontaneously without having to think about it, because it has become a part of you. So meditation is the same. This mindfulness or sati, you have to train until it becomes a part of you. That's why you can do the bowing, or you can do the cultivation or meditation through sitting, lying down, walking, whatever activity you do, is a training. When the body and mind move as one, without thought, when you bow, body and mind move as one. When you walk, body and mind move as one. That is the deep. And you have to do it until like you train yourself in a sports or skill. Until the movement and the awareness become one. When you are very graceful, even dancing or whatever, or running, or swimming, or any activity. When you are very graceful, means you have sati, you are mindful most of the time, and you are very calm, very peaceful, and you can develop samadhi. So this third spiritual faculty is quite easy when you understand. When you bow, be aware. When you stand, be aware. When you look forward, be aware. Turning, stretching, bowing, bending, whatever you do, aware. Maintain inner awareness, body and mind as one. Then later in the sea, there is a flow. Specific phenomenal awareness. You are aware of what you see, but you don't stay there. You don't preoccupy with what you see, and you don't get lost in thought. It's a continuous flow. Yeah? Means you see with sati, you hear with sati, mindfulness. All of your sense experience that arise, there is mindfulness, there is awareness, there is clarity. That's what sati is all about. And when you stabilize this until it becomes very, very stable, until it becomes a part of you, then samadhi develops. Samadhi is the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. Then with sada, virya, sati, samadhi, wisdom will rise, panya. Wisdom is panya. Especially when sati, mindfulness and samadhi is there. You can see things as they are, because at the moment of sense experience, your mind does not waver anymore. It does not stir. There is no more fear, worry, anxiety. You are not lost in thought. You are just aware. That's how you can see things as they are. You don't see according to memory, according to your views and opinion and your reaction to sense experience. No more. You just see. The direct seeing, the direct knowledge and vision of the reality. It's just aware. It's just awakened. Then you will understand many, many things. Then all the teaching will be understood. Then the key to meditation is the four support for awareness-based meditation. That's why I started off by asking you to relax. If you cannot relax, means there is a lot of tension in you, stress in you. And most human beings has a lot of stress. And because of stress, there is tension, there is tightness. You are holding on to something. So stress is accumulated, built up through attachment, through fear, worry, anxiety, clinging, grasping. And all this you accumulate without you knowing it. And it builds up until you reach the threshold. Then it becomes stressful to you. Everything that reaches the threshold will make you stressful. That's why your stress level, when it hit your threshold, you cannot take it anymore. Then you will become very stressful, and it will cause a lot of subsequent problem. That's why from stress, it will cause your cell to mutate. Because it will cause your immune system to go down. What is stress? Stress is built up from all the negative tendency of mind. What are the negative tendency? Your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation. These are all negative mind state. Negative means negative energy field. And when you have all this intense fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Since you all have gone through life, you will know how the energy is, especially fear. The energy is very eerie, very negative. It will cause yourself to mutate, and it will trigger off the release of certain type of hormones. that will make you fearful. And because of this negative energy field, it will cause your immune system to drop and your cell will mutate. That's how people develop cancer, go into depression, and become afflicted. But if you cultivate the opposite positive mind state, like the spiritual faculty, when you have faith, your mind is very calm, very composed, very peaceful, because there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. Then you are just aware, silent, peaceful. Then you will experience all of the peacefulness of mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, calmness of mind, free of all the negative tendency. Then you have this good mind state, you radiate love and metta, which is the opposite of anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety. So when you radiate love and metta, this is a very positive energy field. It will engulf your entire being, like just now what we did. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. If you really feel the well-being and happiness within your entire being, body and mind, each and every cells within your body, they will have this positive loving-kindness energy, the well-being energy, because you radiate this well-being and happiness to yourself. So each and every cell with this happiness and well-being will have this positive love energy or metta energy. Then it will build up your calmness of mind, give you the improved immune system. Then you will be more happy, more healthy. Then there is more joy, more peacefulness, more happiness. And this positive energy state will make you very calm. And your mind state become very beautiful, very different. Then there is joy, there is happiness, there is peacefulness, there is calmness. There is tranquility and stillness, no more agitation, no more restlessness of mind. And this is what enlightenment is all about, heedful living. The mind is heedful, mindful, aware, most of the time, not lost in thought, as opposed to heedless living. Constantly lost in thought because the spiritual faculties are not there. You are not able to train yourself and develop that. So meditation is very simple. When your spiritual faculty arise, the hindrance is, then what happens is you can understand spiritual teaching very fast. Your meditation becomes very simple. But when you have the spiritual faculty, the moment you sit, you are already peaceful, calm, aware, silent, without thought, mental hindrance no more. That's how you can experience the inner peace, inner calmness, inner mindfulness. And that is the meditative state. That is the mind that can understand the beautiful teaching of the Buddha, the spiritual teaching. So this is a very good summary, yeah, of what the teaching is all about and how you can understand it to develop the meditation. Then the last part is, I have to explain to you how the spiritual faculty offset the mental hindrance. If you look at the chart, when you have the spiritual faculty of sadha, faith, confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, your mind is very calm, very composed. So when you have that, you will not have any more doubt, is it? No more doubt. Because you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching. So sadha, or faith, or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching will overcome the mental hindrance of doubt. Then when you develop faith, you also develop a composed mind, a calm mind. And that will help you to overcome restlessness too. Then you train your mind to have virya, spiritual zeal, or spiritual tenacity, diligence. It will help you overcome sloth and torpor or sleepiness of mind. That's why they are all very powerful. Then when you have sati or mindfulness, after you train your mind, you don't have thought, you just aware. No thought means no reaction of mind, no stirring of mind. no like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So every moment of sense experience, when you have sati and samadhi, your mind is unwavering, collected. It does not stir. That's why sensual desire, you will not arise. You will just see things as they are, without the reality, without the sensual desire, and you will. Then when wisdom arises, all the five cease to be. And that is how spiritual faculty is very powerful. So you don't have to worry about the mental hindrance. Don't fight it, don't suppress it, don't try to control it, don't do anything to it, just let it be. And you will cease to be when you just focus on the spiritual faculty. And this is what you need to understand. Then your meditation will progress very fast. And you will understand the Buddha's teaching very easily. Okay? So this is the important part that I want you to understand. And because it's recorded, you listen to it again, then you can understand better. Okay? Any question? You just have to raise your hand. Huh? Or anybody want to report meditation, you can. Any other topic of the teaching that you don't understand, you want me to explain, you can also ask while I have a drink. Yeah? Maybe we let the host say a few words. Pamasiri and Bradil, you all can say a few words.
Bradil.
Thank
you everybody and Sadhu for attending the class. Thank you Bradil for giving me the opportunity to hold this class. I'm really very happy actually. Actually, I received, there's like one Kayanamita asked me a question the other day. And I couldn't answer because all this while I thought the law of nature and the law of karma is the same. But I don't.
Yeah.
She asked me, are you sure the law of nature and the law of karma is the same? Is there any difference between this?
Yeah, there is a slight difference. Because law of karma is part of law of nature. Understand? Law of nature got many laws. That's why I say the five pancha niyama, the universal order that governs all of life and existence within the universe, within the conditioned world, they are the five. Two are physical law, biological order and physical order. That's why the Buddha call it Uttu niyama and Bija niyama. Uttu is physical order of the physical world. Means all physical things follow this law, like your physics and chemistry and all those things. Then the other one is biological order, Bija Niyama. This is the order of biological things, organic things, like the human form and mind, the human being, the fishes, the animals, the plants. They are all under the biological order, genetic theory, genetic engineering. All of the what they call biology that you study, which include botany, anatomy and all those things, they are all under these two laws. And this one, the scientists are very good. That's why they have developed tremendous understanding and progress on these two laws. That's why the scientists progress very fast. Over the last 30 years, you can see we have progressed and evolved very, very fast, at a very, very fast rate, very phenomenal. That put to shame the last 5,000 over years of civilization. the last past 5,000 over years of civilization can never compare to the last 30 to 50 years of progress because of our understanding of these two physical laws, biological order and physical order. Then there are three other laws. We call it the spiritual law that involves spiritual teaching or spiritual aspect. The first spiritual aspect is the law of karma. Law of karma involves mental intention. That's why we sometimes call it the moral law. Means they call it the moral causation. Yeah? It involves mental intention. And this is also a nature's law, but this is one of the nature's law. Law of karma, karma, niyama. All these niyama are nature's law, the great order of nature. But they are, nature's law is a summation of all. So karma, niyama is law of karma, moral causation. It's different from physical law. Physical law also got Newton's law of cause and effect. To every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. But that one doesn't involve mental intention. That one involves physical thing. You study in physics, you know. There is this coefficient of, they call it restitution. So, the harder the wall, the amount of rebound will be more. So to every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, means depending on the coefficient of that thing. When you throw a rubber ball against the wall, if the wall is very hard, then it will rebound according to the impulse. So this is physics. And chemistry has its reaction and all those things. Then you got physical chemistry, organic chemistry is the same. Physical follow physical law, organic follow organic biological law. Then after karma, you have the mind. Citta niyama, order of the mind. The Buddha teach how we function as a human being, how our mind arise and pass away following the dependent origination of 12 link paticca samuppada. So these are nature's law, part of nature's law. Then the last one is the other law not included. They call it Dhamma Niyama, all aspect of Dhamma which is truth. So these are the five universal order. You combine them, they become the complete set of nature's law. But law of karma is just one of the law. You can follow. Law of karma is just one of the many nature's law. So it's very simple and very easy to understand and explain to people. Because there is no God behind karma. There is no God to punish you or to reward you. If you have a God, then there will be chaos, understand? Then it will be like our world. You can bribe God, understand? You can count him God. Because God can also make mistakes. Maybe you say your God is a special God, omnipotent and omnipresent, almighty. But if there is such a God, the world will be different. It will not be what it is. If I have that special, omnipresent or omniscient power of God, means almighty, I can do what I want, then the world will not have problem. The universe will be beautiful. There is no more all this trying to test. God is trying to test you. What for? You have to test you. He's almighty. There is no more meaning. But the deep meaning is, you check back, you realize even the so-called God is subject to law of nature. God never, even with all the so-called inverted comma almighty ability, cannot change nature's law. They can call it what God's magic or what? Miracle. Is it God's miracle? There is no miracle. Psychic phenomena can arise. It's all order of the mind. Nothing very esoteric or special. But it's also part of nature's law, psychic. When you train your mind in that way, it has that power. And people have been trying to look for eternal life, longevity. All the emperors of China, Chang Shen Bu Lao, you heard of it, isn't it? Well, all the emperors die. So, who can live for eternity? Nobody. But there is an aspect of your nature that never die. Why? Because it was never born. That's why when you talk about eternity, eternal life, you cannot understand. Within the conditioned world, there is no such thing as the eternal life. Where everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, there is no eternity. But within the unconditioned, there is eternal life. But that is not a being, not a person, not an entity. Not a permanent unchanging entity where you can call this is me, this is I. It's just a nature. That's it, finish. Recorded in nature. That's why when you study physics, especially you read Stephen Hawking's book, he also mentioned in the book, one of his book, I remember I read it somewhere, he was asking this question, very easy to understand, isn't it? Let's say this universe, there is a time where it begin. Can I accept that or not? There must be a point in time, in history, where it begin, isn't it? You say God created, isn't it? So God have to create from certain point of time, isn't it? Let's say this is the point of time. Point of time. When God created. Let's say this beginning. We call it the beginning of time. Yeah, if you believe in creation, there must be a point in time where it creates, isn't it? Can accept this point or not? Huh? It's a very simple question, isn't it? If you say God create, there must be a time. Let's say 10 billion, 20 billion years ago, God created. So this is the beginning, okay? You know Stephen Hawking asked what? What was God doing before he created? You understand the question, huh? What was God doing before he created? It's a very simple question. You say there is a beginning of time where God created. But what was God doing before he created? Because there is no creation. So what is God? Who is God? That's why you don't understand all this. You don't see it clearly. You will become gullible. Because you create God. Out of what? Out of ignorance. Whatever that you cannot understand, you put God there. Finish. Almighty. God cannot be questioned. Finish. God has a reason for all. Means you don't inquire anymore. You accept. And when people ask you, who is God? God lah. Almighty. Almighty means what? He can do what he likes. Then if you are given God's power, you can do a better job than what the universe is now, isn't it? With all the war, all the conflict, the suffering, the misery, I will say. If you are almighty with all the power, the world will not be what it is now, isn't it? Very easy to understand, isn't it? If you are given God's power, do you think the world will be what it is? Then, in the Bible, the funny part is there is Satan. And it was mentioned many times. God also cannot do anything with Satan. That's why all this type of teaching is only people who don't have the understanding, who believe they can accept. But it is not something that we want to criticize or comment. It's just an understanding, yeah? So that you can understand whatever that governs life and existence. You have to develop a clear understanding. And when you understand, you will not become gullible. You will not end up believing. And this word confident in the Buddha and his teaching is not belief, not blind faith, please. It's totally different. Confident in him because you develop it through understanding how special a being he is. He never say he's God, and so on. He said he was like us, just human being, normal living beings. But he cultivated over eons and eons and eons and eons to develop this understanding. Then when he realized the truth, he transcend mind. He transcend the conditioned world. He realized the unconditioned, which he called Nibbana, enlightenment. And that is the one you have to understand. And he said that one is not anything that you call by name. You cannot name it. He don't say you. They call it when you become one with God. They call it the kingdom of God. After you die, you are Christian. You are, I don't know what they use. They don't believe in rebirth. They say you realize salvation. So, utopia, they call it. Then there are people who have the understanding. They say you will be in heaven. Then in heaven, everything is so beautiful, so peaceful. Then some people, they find it very funny. Why do I want to go there? If that is the place you call heaven, it will be very boring for me. Because they are so used to our earthly, worldly life. You say, there is no wine, no beer, no gambling, no vices, no all this type of thing that make them fulfill. They say if they go heaven, they will be very boring. So if you don't understand human mind, you will end up with all this misunderstanding and conflict. A lot of things about wisdom is not what you think. Your wisdom is not knowledge. Not about the thought process. Wisdom is an understanding that frees the mind, liberates the mind. And this wisdom is very extraordinary. That's why when you penetrate the teaching, you will realize the unconditioned. Then the conditioned Dhamma, the conditioned world, you can understand very clearly. Things that are not logical, you will also understand. But sometimes things that are logical may not be the truth. You also understand. That's why you are not gullible anymore. The phenomenal world will not delude you anymore. You will not get yourself entangled anymore. And this is the beauty of the Buddha's teaching. It is very complete. It teaches not only the mundane, it includes the supramundane. It's like the whole of life, secret of life, you can understand. And when you understand life, you know how to live. Then you know what this form of mind is all about. You know that it is conditioned arising, dependent originating, not real, not you. And all this understanding doesn't involve belief. The Buddha says you can put it to test, investigate into it, and come to the understanding. You can transcend your own thought process, your own mind. Then you can realize an inner nature which is completely beyond thought, beyond mind. And this is what the teaching is all about. This is what enlightenment is all about. It's not belief or hearsay. Okay? I hope I explain. Answer your question. Any more question? We still got half an hour to go. You should make use of the opportunity to ask. Anything else? Whatever people ask, you reflect, contemplate on the teaching, you can answer straight away. No need to fear. Because if you search for knowledge to answer, then you will not be able to answer. You will be confused. Like the very simple question. People just ask Padmasri, are you sure the law of karma and nature's law is the same? She's not sure. I use the mic for the recording.
I didn't actually know that the law of nature is the five laws that govern all our life and existence.
Law of nature is everything that goes on within nature. Like whatever that can explain the way things are, the reality, that is the law of nature, but that is truth. Truth is. That's why all the teaching in this world, the religion, what do they proclaim? They proclaim to have the? Have the one. Have the one. Have the truth, isn't it? Every religion say their religion has the truth. But there are many religions who want to monopolize truth. You know what they tell you? If you don't believe this religion, then you got no more hope for salvation. Because they monopolize truth. Only their religion got truth. The rest all, not the real one. Then if you don't believe them, you will be condemned to eternal hell after you die. You believe them, no matter how evil you are, you will be with them in the kingdom of God after you die. These are the teaching that the world also has. And people can believe. That's why you ask yourself, if you don't have the wisdom, you can become very gullible. So as Krishnamurti also understood, that's why he make it very clear. He said, truth is. You know what is the meaning or not? It's just like the Buddha's teaching of suchness. Krishnamurti say truth is, capital I, capital S. Yeah? Is means the isness of thing, the suchness of thing, the reality. Truth is means what? We cannot say my truth, your truth, no meaning in it. What is my truth and what is your truth? These are relative truth, isn't it? Truth according to me. Truth according to you. But what is more important? When Krishnamurti say truth is, or the Buddha say suchness or thusness of thing, means the reality. Whatever that you explain, if it can match with the reality, then that is the truth. It's not your truth, not my truth. Truth is. Yeah, this is the nature's law. This is reality. Nature's law means within nature there is a law that governs all this, like your physical law, biological law, law of karma, spiritual law, and all these things. So all this can explain the way things are. That's why law of karma never make mistake. Human beings make mistake. Computers also make mistake. When there is a virus or a bug or one. But nature's law never make mistake. Because it's law. This is true. Whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. So all our religion, whatever you believe in, is not important. But if your teaching can point towards the truth, that teaching is important. That's why the Buddha said his teaching is the Buddha Dhamma. The Dhamma points towards the truth. It can lead you to the truth. It can explain to you what these truths are. And he never claimed to be God. He said the mortal form that comes and supposedly dies is not him. These are the countless segmented lives that living beings will continuously take birth. Birth after birth. Every birth you come, you got one segmented life. And that segment of your life is the living being that come. Like this life is the human being. You call this brother tail. Yeah. This one is the vehicle and the tool, the form and mind that come. This is not me. This is karmically conditional. But it performs the function of me, my nature, brother tail. Then the form and the mind is the vehicle and the tool for which my nature come. To understand life, to live life, to fulfill whatever vows, affinity and understanding. But if you don't have this understanding, if you are deluded, then you don't even know who you are, what you are. What is this form and mind all about? What is this living being all about? That's why when you don't have this understanding, it's very difficult for you to understand life. If you don't know who are you, what are you, then the next question is, how are you going to live life? If I don't know who I am, what I am, then who is living my life? What is living my life? You understand? Yeah? Can you understand? If you don't understand who you are, what you are, then what is this form and mind all about? Then who is living your life? Then who are you? What are you? All these are very basic, fundamental questions about life. That's why the Buddha's teaching and Krishnamurti is the same, self-knowledge. If you don't have the understanding of who you are, what you are, you cannot understand life. Do you follow? Yeah? All these are not difficult to understand actually. We have gone through many times. But because you all didn't really go into it in detail, you all have not developed the wisdom and the understanding. That's why you may find it quite difficult to comprehend. It is not difficult actually. Okay, any other question? Yeah, the mic. Oh, he passed to Brother Tim. Papa Suri passed to you.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. No questions. No sharing.
Yeah, good.
But maybe like to take this opportunity. If you all don't mind. Trying to explain to my father.
Happening. You better. Maybe explain to him.
I got to speak in Hokkien.
No problem.
And my Hokkien is Terrible.
Don't worry. Don't
worry. If you can help, Bug request, in Hong Kong is English. ไปก็คืออัพเกรดให้เขาเลยทีเนี้ยเป็นยูสามารถที่จะพูดเขาไปพูดใจฮะไปพูดกับไปอังกงบูเซียงอ่ะนั่นไม่ใช่ไปอังกงอ่ะเจ๊สิจุนไปพูดสิ่งของไอ้จับสิวพูดกองไอ้ตัวนี้อ่ะอันจ่ายจับสิวเลยตัวไอ้心会较开啦，啊，心会较静啊，心会较清楚啊，啊，安怎爱接受咧是讲，人啊，大家真正心即只乱的啦，当咪，安怎乱的是讲，当咪想物件。 古早发生的物件，无欢喜的物件，伫伫想啊，心袂静啊。有时咧就讲，物件丢掉啊，啊，袂放啊，伫咧想啊，即个还好即个，还好迄个，还好股票会落，还好物件互人压去，咱个心袂静啊。 So, do I accept you, this is a good thing?
You tell him not to attach and cling because these are not real. These are the thought process, conditionalizing, dependent on.
So, what is the thing? 家己就爱对这个佛讲的话啊有把握，啊，就爱对你家己本有把握，你家己做甲真侪物件了啦，啊，孙家什么大汉了，做真侪好的代志了的，是哦，啊，对家己爱把握啊，免烦恼安尼做了的，啊，这佛讲的是安尼咯。
你较袂辛苦啊！谢谢你。生个迄条福建歌，欢喜就好。欢喜就好。Anything
else? Do you want?
Yeah, it's just like what I told my mother-in-law. Maybe I speak in English first, then later if you got time, we translate. Last time, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. They all used to have some karmic past. They call it karmic debt, siu kiam jie. So they are always, most of the time, quarreling. And every time they quarrel, they drag in their children. And my wife being the eldest children, eldest daughter, every time gonna drag in off the mic. The phone call will come, then she will run over and listen. And the mother has this ability to get what she wants by telling the children certain things so that they will like support her and her thing. Then later on I heard all this, then I tell my wife, forget about it, I say, you just tell them, your life is already so good. Why you want to live life that way? Understand or not? Every day argue, quarrel, creating all this misunderstanding. Are you happy? Are you peaceful? Why are you doing all this? Can't you just reflect on life, have contentment, have love, have understanding? It's better to be at peace, having the love, the joy, and the understanding of life, rather than to do all this. And all this that she did and the husband did is because of karmic. Through delusion, they didn't know. It has become habitual tendency. Every time you want to argue, in Hokkien they call tak lai tak ke. Like we say, playing the game of suffering. Wan na ge tong ku de you see. Why do you still want to do that? Then I explained to them. I said, you already so successful. Why? Because both of them are not educated. But they bring out the whole family, the children. They got 6 children. And all of them very successful. Even the last 3 or 4, they also went to university and graduated. I think 4 of them graduated. 1 of them went to diploma, also doing quite well. Then my wife, because she is a teacher, very contented, she also doing very well. Then I say, you already have your home. They bought their own home because they strike social welfare first prize. As to home belong to them, they got plantation at home. All the children successful. Some went overseas. A lot of them university graduate. Then, financially, they are already doing quite well. Then they have a lot of what they call grandchildren too, later on. Then, if you look at life, I say, you should have contentment. You should have joy. You should reflect on all this and count your blessing. These are not easy to come by, understand? Then at this age, you still want to argue and create suffering. For what? Still want to worry about this, worry about that. For what? You should develop the joy to live in harmony with a lot of contentment and joy. To look back, I said, a lot of other family couldn't have even half of what you have. Most of them are very miserable. They can't even have the 3 meals a day. Not sure. They don't even have a proper shelter or roof over their head. They worry about paying rental where they rented people's home. Some of them are homeless. Then you take your family unit for granted. All the children and everything. When you are arguing, the parent, you make the children worry for you. Then if they also deluded, they will join in the fray. Then some will side the mother, some will side the father. What happened? Worse. Why do you have to go to that extent? It's because of delusion. So the Buddha Dhamma is very simple. When you understand, there is clarity. That's why contentment is very important. Contentment is one of the great virtues that the Buddha taught about in the, I think it's under the auspicious blessing. You have it up there, I think. Mangala Sutta, I think. When you are contented, you are very happy. Because you got no more craving, no more desire, no more wanting, no more attachment, no more craving and clinging and grasping. So contentment is a very powerful virtue. When we are contented with what we have, what life has given us, what nature has given us, then we will be at peace. We will not complain anymore. Then when we understand the Dhamma, we will have a lot of joy. Because the Dhamma teaches the nature's law that governs life and existence, the secret of life. Then when we understand life, we are not deluded. Then we can actually develop the wisdom to live life. Then we are free. We will have a lot of love, a lot of compassion, a lot of peacefulness, calmness. Our mind state will be completely free of suffering, misery, sorrow and lamentation. So all this is what the teaching is all about. If you know how to reflect, contemplate and apply all this, then living life is very simple. Having a good life, peaceful life is very simple. You can follow this one. This is very easy to understand, mundane. Then like at home, within the family unit, we have our husband and wife or spouse or parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren later on. What is more important is the understanding of life that can lead to harmony, peacefulness, joy, happiness, understanding. And all this come about when you understand the teaching. The basic teaching of the Buddha is to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. If you can do that, there will be harmony, there will be beautiful life. Then the way out of suffering is very simple, Noble Eightfold Path. Having right view to accept things as they are, you will be free. Your mind will not be deluded, will not get entangled, you will not get angry, you will not blame, you will not argue, you will not say all these things. That's why right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action is very important. This is how you become noble in all aspects of life. Noble in your understanding of life. Here's the nature's law that governs life existence, like the Buddha said. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions he has explained under the five daily contemplation, the last one. It's all a lot has to do with karma. Because according to the Buddha, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if you understand this, you will take care of karma. Karma is very important. And how do we take care of karma? We have already gone through. The Buddha's advice is, avoid all evil, do good. Then you take care of your karma. How do you avoid all evil? The Buddha also teach you what constitutes evil. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion constitute evil. And who are the people who has evil? Those who break the precepts, especially the five precepts. They have all the evil roots of greed, hatred. That's why to avoid all evil, you must keep your precept. You must determine to keep your precept. Undertake the training rule to abstain from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, deceiving, cheating, and partake of intoxicants and drugs that will make your consciousness low. You take care of this, you avoid evil. When you avoid evil, you avoid the karmic negativity of harming people and harming yourself. That's how karma becomes beautiful. When you avoid the condition for negativity, there is no more karmic negativity for you to reap the fruit of karmic friction of that negative karma. Then your life will become beautiful. Then you can avoid all those unnecessary karmic friction or repercussion. Born of evil. Then similarly, how do you cultivate goodness, wholesomeness? You have to train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty, especially mindfulness, to be ever mindful of your thought process. That's how right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood will bring about all this purification of thought process. The way you communicate with people, the way you act, and the way you live your life. If you do all this in accordance with Noble Eightfold Path, means you are incapable of wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood, then you will have beautiful life. Then the four right effort will constantly purify your action, speech, and thought process and the way you live your life. Then with mindfulness, accumulating into samadhi, you will develop wisdom to awaken, to liberate your mind. And that's how you can become enlightened. Then you will get to leave the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You reap the fruition of your hard work. You got to live the life of an enlightened being. a noble one, then no more suffering, only peacefulness, calmness, heedfulness, joy, happiness. And that is the way to understand life. Then you can live life to the fullest. Then you can get to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. Then no more suffering, no more misery, no more coming negativity. So, when you understand this teaching, it's so simple. Life can be very simple. The game of suffering which living being has been playing for so long, if you still want to continue to play, then it's your choice. What do you mean by the game of suffering? Wan tong ku de yu si. Everything that you do that arise suffering and misery is called the game of suffering. Means you continue to attach, to cling, to accumulate, to worry, to have fear, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. All this is the game of suffering. And haven't you played enough? Still want to play for so long? Aeons and aeons of birth and death. If it's not enough to awaken you, then I don't know what else can awaken you. Because the teaching is so clear, so simple. If you look deep into it, you ask yourself, suffering need not be. If you have this teaching, you have this understanding, and life can be very, very simple. Okay. But I don't know how to translate in Hokkien. It's not easy. It's a very deep topic. But don't worry. Ask him to have faith in Kuan Yin or Buddha or whatever that. You really want to understand. Then you have to use Mandarin. He is a teacher. He knows Mandarin. Let him read the book, the Fo Tho De Gu Dao. Oh, he can't see already. Read to him lah. Read to him. The Four Noble Truths rest.
Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakanta Loka Sasana Itta Wata Chaamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu yatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu yatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu yatayo Ipmina punya kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo.